Hi, everybody. I want to apologize for the delay in getting out this episode. My daughter's been sick for a couple days. David's on his hiatus. It's been a bit of a cluster. But I hope you enjoy it. Next week, we'll be back with Best of 2015 Marvel. And this Friday, we'll be putting up the Patreon bonus episode for everyone to listen to, which should include a bit of political commentary, David's review of Midnighter, some other fun stuff. Anyway, check that out. Become a patron today. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. You get that bonus episode for literally being a patron of any amount. You could be a penny and you get that bonus episode. But I hope you enjoy this one. This is our discussion of Batgirl, the Batgirl of Burnside. Anyway, enjoy the episode. Thanks. Bye.
Welcome to Comics.
Episode 257. This week, we talk about
Batgirl, the Batgirl of Burnside.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the casting.
So, Jen, this is my buddy Clint. We go back to high school? Or earlier than that?
Yeah. Junior high.
Oh, yeah. I block those years out, the fanny pack years.
Yeah, me too. I've done a lot of things since then, so, you know.
Yeah. So, anyway, Clint is about as close to a bat expert friend as I have, so this is a good get for us.
Cool.
Yeah, the beginning of the show, Clint, what we usually do is just kind of, I mean, it's not really a news segment because we tend to delay a week, although we're pretty much live right now. This will probably go out tomorrow or Friday. But usually at the top, we banter about some stuff. Have either one of you guys seen DC's new, they redid their logo for their whole rebirth event?
No.
It looks like a Converse logo. I don't know. It's just the block letters DC with a circle around it.
That's kind of dull.
Yeah, I feel like it fits their whole like nostalgia based looking behind them kind of a thing.
The thing is, it also has like on. It's kind of modern. It has like the serifs on it. I don't know. I like the old logo.
I like the old one that's like got like the DC with like the swoosh around it with a star.
Yeah.
Not the
peeling
sticker.
I didn't care. I just don't want Batman to murder any more people.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the old school I want. Like, not Batman murdering people. Not Punisher Batman. Like, can we go back to that, please?
Yeah. Which actually then brings us to the next thing. My favorite, like, nostalgia-based artist, Darwin Cook. Are either one of you familiar with Darwin Cook?
His covers.
Yeah, his covers mostly.
His covers and New Frontier, or was it just called DC Front? I don't know. But yeah, he passed away 2 days ago from cancer, and that really fucking sucks because he wasn't that old. And I actually, a couple years ago, I was at Comic-Con, and I was hanging out with a group of people, and it didn't even occur to me that Darwin Cook was, like, in the group, because, like, it was me and Shomurase and Jimmy and Amanda, and then there's just this other guy I didn't recognize. Like, I'd bought him a beer and gone over and started chatting, and there's this other dude, and I didn't know who it was. And then he's like, okay, I gotta go home and get some commissions done. Not go home, I gotta go back to the hotel and get some commissions done. And I was like, okay, yeah, bye. And then and I find out later it was Darwin Cook. I was like, motherfucker, I have his covers in my bag. That I'm, like, aww, literally wearing, that I was wanting him to sign this weekend. And I never got around to getting them signed. And I don't want to make this, like, the, oh, he's dead now, I can't get him to sign my comics. But, like, it's that feeling of somebody who was present and dominant in the industry, and now they're just going to be gone. And that really fucking sucks.
Yeah, and he's so young.
Yeah. And he was so good. Like, yeah. a lot of this, like, retro future kind of feel and, like, nostalgia vibe that's going on nowadays with comics, a lot of it is like
casting back realism on, like, gritty realism on old stories, like you're saying, Clint. Like, I want the old Batman that's not Punisher, that doesn't kill people. And I feel like Darwin Cook was one of those people who showed the old, like, golden age and did it with respect towards the characters and didn't think that because they were the old golden age virgins that they were necessarily, like, candy coated. But also didn't feel the need to gritty them up. I don't know. His work just has this really awesome, authentic, nostalgic feel to it that I really always loved.
Sort of a timeless feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. It's funny you're saying that. It's like, I feel that way about Prince. Like everything you're just saying.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like this old, like, you know, these people that are just before their time, and it's kind of weird how, you know, from afar, they don't really seem mortal. It's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Being a fan of people like that.
I have the singles for this Batgirl of Burnside that we're going to talk about today, and I have the Purple Rain variant cover. Yeah. And as I was like going through, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This is beautiful, and that sucks.
It does, indeed.
All right, you guys ready to talk about the comic?
Yeah.
This week's comic.
All right, this week we read Batgirl, The Batgirl of Burnside by Cameron Stewart and Brandon Fletcher. Collects issues 35 to 40. This is the last trade in our best of 2015 for DCs. I know it's like mid-May and we're just now doing the best of 2015. We like usually do it in January. We've just been putting it off, but we're doing it now. So best of DC 2015. This is the last one. I feel like, what else did we read? We read Midnighter and, fuck, what was last week? God.
Omega Men.
Yeah, Omega Men. I remember Midnighter because it was so bad.
Aww.
Well, not so bad. It was so average for best of.
Yes.
I feel like this one does a pretty good job, too.
So, I gotta ask you guys, you're both a couple years older than me. This comic made me feel old. Did you feel the same way?
100%. Yeah. It's not like it made me feel like old. I just felt like it was written by someone my age trying to be 20.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, a good way to put it.
It was weird because especially after reading like the Gail Simone arc, it almost felt like a completely different character, like a retcon almost.
It is a totally different character. They just bump her all the way back to, what, like freshman in college?
She's 21, so... Yeah.
Well, not
freshman. Senior? Junior?
Yeah. Well, obviously really... ahead of the curve, doing her thesis for grad school.
Yeah.
But isn't it the same... It's technically the same character. I mean, the character arc is compressed in with the Killing Joke, you know, her being paralyzed for a year or two... going through the physical therapy, you know, doing her Batgirl thing for a while. That's all really compressed in the backstory, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it just, like I said, it just feels like the not the same Barbara who had gone through all the stuff with, like, Nightfall and, you know, kind of with James Jr. and that sort of, lasting character stuff happening to her, because they kind of mentioned it a little bit where it's like, oh, I went through a lot of stuff and I just want to have fun or something. And I don't know. It seemed very odd to me. I just didn't buy it entirely. As a continuation anyway of like the same character, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I love your description as somebody our age trying to write for somebody 10 years younger. It's a decent attempt, you know, because the Cameron Stewart and Brandon Fletcher do a really good job of setting the feel of Burnside, right? Like, all of the logos feel authentic, like the Web 2.0 logos feel like Web 2.0 logos. The Weeaboo shop has a Weeaboo logo, you know, and like the feel of the area is very like spot on 20s hipster. I think the problem happens when you try to incorporate like social media and cell phones in the comics. I don't know. Cause I realize what I don't see in many comics are superheroes on cell phones. you know, one way or another. And I feel like that's what's gonna, that's what's already feeling like it's feeling dated, even though it's not yet. Like, I don't know how to explain that feel. It just doesn't feel right to have that in the comic.
Well, I think what it is that, in the notes I put down, this comic is so hip with the lingo. Yes. And I think that superheroes and cell phones are going to be an inevitability, and it works so well with the concept of Barbara Gordon because she is Oracle.
Yeah.
And the idea of her being, like, networked and connected is very much part of her character, except now we see this kind of, like, young Barbara on Tinder. I mean, they call it Hook, but it's clearly Tinder. Like, couldn't they have at least used Twitter? It's just very not her. And that's kind of the interesting thing. I think last week, Andy, you pitched this to me as they're bringing the fun back to Batgirl, but she's, I've always seen Barbara Gordon, even without tragedy, but even in, like, the lighthearted adventure she has, as being mature for her age. Mm-hmm. Like, academically, emotionally, she's someone who, you know, kind of has to fight her own demons, but at the same time, like, does it well. And here, she's like a little brat. And she parties and hooks up with dudes on Tinder and is a bitch to Dinah for no reason and et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, obviously, like, they hinted at some backstory where there was a good reason for her to be upset. But this Barbara doesn't seem like Barbara to me, and it was a little weird.
See, and you know why I think that happens? I think it's because of the villains that she fights. And, like, what we were talking about, I think it was Gail Simone's Wonder Woman. Because even though that was incredibly well written, Wonder Woman felt like a stock character because all she was fighting were Nazis.
yeah.
Because the point of fighting a villain in comics is they're a metaphor for something that the hero is going through or something that was within the hero. And therefore, by punching the shit out of the metaphor, they have overcome the problem. That's kind of the concept of comics. And sure. So for this, what we get for the villains are Black, who's this douchebag, like, super creepy as hell, DJ, blackmailer, like, skeezy guy. Who are the other, a Dagger type, the dragon, or the drag queen?
Yeah. Artist. Yeah. Oh, man.
And then, and then herself, which is, I think when it's revealed that her actual villain is herself, I think that's a decent commentary, that's a decent meta commentary on this version of Barbara versus the pre-New 52 Barbara. But I think the problem with this Barbara is her villains. Like, she's overcoming vanity and the inundation of social media and technology, but it doesn't play right. Like, those aren't Batgirl problems to me.
Well, yeah, I felt like the villain turned out to be her gone amok was like way, it was just like on the nose. It was like way too much. Honestly, it felt like throughout the entire time I was reading it that I was reading like the Scott Pilgrim version of Batgirl. Like, it was really weird in that, and especially when it came down to the, like, it actually is, she's fighting herself almost. Like, you know, self-esteem win for 1,000 points, you know, sort of thing. Like you're saying, it's supposed to be a metaphor, but it was, like, way too real of, like, an actual metaphor, you know? Like, oh, she has to overcome herself. The stakes didn't seem very high. I know everybody was going to get blown up by the orbiting satellite or whatever, but yeah. There didn't seem to be any sort of like real threat or urgency there. Like, you knew it was going to work out. Like, you know, they're not going to have Archie Batgirl and then like everyone gets murdered at the end. Like, that's not going to happen. So there's no real tension.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just didn't play for me.
That was a really apt description. I think that was spot on. I think Barbara needs a mystery to solve, because here we find out, like, she keeps saying she's really scared of something, but we don't know what it is. and all we see are these, like, really lame villains. So, I don't know, from a reader perspective, I think it would have been better if we'd been given, like, a line to follow. You know, like, we know something that she doesn't, and we could see why she needs to solve this mystery. But the cell phone thefts and the impersonation and stuff were just, I don't know, for me, they were too scattered.
Yeah, especially when, you know, and this is the thing that kind of bugs me a lot of times with the Bat Family books, I guess. Being a huge Batman fan, I'm always kind of like, you know, why don't they just call Batman? Like, with a lot of these problems that they have. And I know there's a very, really strong, they kind of always go, well, I don't want to rely on him and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I know that, you know, narratively, obviously, you can't just call Batman. It's kind of a Deus Ex sort of thing. But a lot of times when, you know, something like this happens, when it could be, like, very easily taken care of by Bruce Wayne or his influence or some sort of, like, I mean, it's not even Batman. Like, he could literally make a phone call and, you know, deal with some of this stuff that she's having to navigate. It just doesn't narratively play for me, you know, a lot of this. And again, like, the Burnside, I think it works within itself. But as an extension of Gotham, it just feels weird. It doesn't seem like Gotham City that I know in any way. It doesn't really feel like, it just feels like Hipsterville. It doesn't feel like Gotham. And I don't have, it was something that I, especially reading the Gail Simone right before reading this, I really was like, whoa, I miss the, like, actual Gotham City where there was a sense of danger. There was a palpable sense of, like, menace in the air. And I know that that's not really what they're going for because they're going for more of a fun kind of Batgirl. But at the same time, I feel like you could do both. Like, I don't think that that's an and or proposition. Like you were saying before, she doesn't really feel like Barbara Gordon to me. And I think that was really, that's really kind of the problem I'm having a lot when I was reading this, was it just feels like a different character completely.
And I, you know, that is true. It doesn't feel like Gotham. It feels like Brooklyn.
Right.
And that's kind of the weird thing, because Gotham, I mean, in some ways it's New York-ish. But on the other hand, it's so much darker. You know, I think on this podcast I've previously said Gotham is like 5% superheroes, 10% cops, and then the remaining amount is all villains and criminals.
That's about right. Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's, I think a lot of what I was having problems with in this book is in terms of, like, not just the thematic things that I didn't really buy into, but I felt a lot of the kind of more, I don't know, bat aspects of the book just didn't seem to play. Like you were saying before, like, Barbara Gordon never seemed the kind of character that would be really overly concerned with popularity. Or, you know, I guess she was trying in the context of the story to kind of, like, prevent her image from being ruined or whatever. But at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, not 3 or 4 issues ago, you know, again, going back to the Gail Simone arcs, like, you're trying to keep a low profile and, like, you're trying to do the bat thing where, oh, we don't even know if you exist, if you're real, or, you know, like, she's trying to be that sort of person. So to go this completely different way just didn't, again, didn't really feel to me like Barbara Gordon or like how just a superhero who's trying to operate under the radar would operate, you know, and it didn't play for me the way that I think they were intending it to.
Yeah. And that actually is kind of weird too, because if you think about it, when she starts getting on social media, like the, I think they call it Pickstagraph or something, Instagram. You know, she does say, oh, I'm going to fix my image. But then later when Dinah confronts her about it, she kind of has a whole thing of, I want to have fun and don't I deserve that? And people love Batgirl. And that's a trap that I think anyone could get sucked into. But to me, not Barbara Gordon. You know,
and It's not written well either. That's, I think, a lot of the problem. It doesn't, you know, I think it's a weird, I kept reading it like almost like Scott Pilgrim, like where everybody's in a band or has got a cool hip job. And it's like, you know, she's so overly concerned with these sort of minutiae things that don't really have, they're not, these are not the same sort of like overarching themes of like family or responsibility or, you know, just the sort of things that Barbara Gordon sort of tends to deal with in those, in her stories. It was just, it just played to me like a very Scott Pilgrim-y sort of like, I don't know. It just had that weird feel to it. I don't even really know how to describe it, honestly.
It is super like, it's anything like Brian Lee O'Malley writes, honestly. And I have a history with his comics. I can't stand any of them. So, that's neither here nor there, but, I do think it was a turnoff for me on this one because I have never not loved a Batgirl comic I've picked up until just about now. And I think part of it is we've talked a lot about Barbara, but also like characters that we should know and love, like Dinah. I don't think their essence wasn't there. Like Dinah is really mean. I think about the first four issues, and I kept looking at her and I was thinking, you know, Dinah Lance is strong, she is strong-willed, but she's not, she's loyal, she's not petty, and she's just, she's a bitch. I mean, that's kind of the only word I can think of, the way that she treats Frankie when she's crashing at her place. And then it was only at like that point where they reconciled, where I was like, okay, this is the Dinah Lance I know.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of the kind of, I think what they were trying to do is, again, with the whole emphasizing, you know, friendship over crime fighting, emphasizing interpersonal relations over the case or over the villains and things like that. And it works sometimes, but it just didn't work for me in the way that they did it. There's one part in particular that I made a note of because it really bothered me in a way. When they were talking, they were trying to save, or go into the building, and save Frankie, cause she was kidnapped or I can't remember if they thought she was kidnapped or whatever. And so so Barbara drives up the side of the building and does this incredibly fancy, ascent basically to get up to the top floor. And then, Dinah sends her a text message that's like, it's show off or something. And I kind of was like, what are you doing? Like, you guys are having phone chat conversation while somebody's life, one of your best friends, might be inside being tortured, killed, raped, whatever. You don't know. You have no idea what's happening to her. And they're having like a text, like cutesy off. And it just, I don't know. It just really, again, seems like Barbara Gordon, all the things given happened to her, just wouldn't take her crime fighting so cavalierly. So, I don't know. Just so, like you're saying before, immaturely, very childish, you know, and that's against what I've always known Barbara Gordon to be, which is, like you were saying, more mature for her age, sort of. She was even more of an adult than, like, Batman at times, when Batman would go off on his, you know, I remember her as Oracle a lot when, you know, Batman would go off on some sort of vengeance route, and she would have to be the one, the voice of wisdom in his ear, being like, hey, you know,
yeah,
you can't do this, you can't do that. And it's like, you know, that is a person who is, you know, has wisdom beyond their years. And that I didn't feel any of that in this Barbara Gordon, really, up until maybe the very end, when it kind of, you know, just kind of all got buttoned up with a bow and very, very tidy sort of, everybody's happy ending. And, you know, it kind of goes back to the status quo. And it didn't feel like, again, other than the kind of emotional stakes of it, that there was really anything going on, in terms of like her character development or, you know, again, her being more of a complete character as opposed to kind of a weird hipster caricature. I don't know. It's, it didn't play for me the way I think it should have. I think they were intending it to anyway. So.
Yeah. And it's like you said, it is kind of like a retcon, but it's weird to see, you know, archetypal characters rewritten like that. Cause you think that it's not just the costume, it's the personality traits that are most important.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think like a lot of the personality things, I get what they were trying to do. I think, you know, just because of the really striking art style is obviously like a departure from the classic Gotham City Bat comics, very dark. I felt like I was it could have easily been, you know, a Archie book or something like that. The art style of it. So I think they were trying to go for that tone with the actual storyline, kind of match that art style. But it just didn't play right. It just felt too low stakes and too sort of, there was no gravitas to it at all to me.
Yeah. And I think it needed a counterbalance to all the, I'll just go ahead and say it's like frivolity. I mean, everyone's partying, they're kids. And it's a little weird because I was caught up in between feeling reading this comic, as I said earlier, like, oh, this made me feel old with all like the app name dropping and references. And I think someone might have called someone else Bay. At some point, I don't remember.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, that, you know, people 10 years from now are not going to remember that. But at the same time, it almost felt kind of like the old person, you know, wagging their finger and saying, oh, millennials are bad at friendship and they party too much and they're irresponsible and only care about Instagram likes. And that kind of threw me off too, because that was Barbara's major foible here. She gets too involved in the image. But, you know, if you're going to like set her up to do that as the author, you need to not necessarily. I like morals. I don't like preachiness, I guess, is what I'm saying here.
It got totally preachy. No doubt about it. There was that point where I'm looking through. Right. Oh, okay. I'm looking at it right now. There's this a panel where she's like kind of looking at her phone like downtroddenly, and it has all the Twitter horrible things that people are saying about Batgirl for whatever reason. I mean, she crashed a car into a restaurant. Like, you know, I don't understand all the hatred for that, but so, you know, and she just literally puts her head against the window and there's a sigh that comes out with a breath. And it's just like so emo and not like just so not Barbara Gordon. Like Barbara Gordon is a tough commissioner's daughter. She's a cop's daughter. Like she's not, she wouldn't, I don't even care what trying, you know, to be fun or frivolous, you're going for. I just can't see a tough cop's daughter acting like that over some things that people say about her on the internet. Like that just does not seem right to me. In any sort of like iteration of Bat anything.
Yeah. And what's kind of funny about it too is so her cop boyfriend guy, Liam, I think makes some pretty decent points about her being a vigilante and thus a criminal. And he kind of goes on the rant too. And he's like, you know, people love that diner and she was doing something illegal. And if it had been from that perspective, like if Barbara had looked at it and said, oh my God, I ended up making the guy do the the illegal thing that I didn't want him to do in the first place because I didn't think this out well. Like, I think that would fit her really well because she's being introspective about her role as a hero. But instead, it's like you said, she's upset about what people are commenting online and she's upset about what Liam says and not, like, the actual consequences of what she did.
And you would think for somebody who, again, has been, you know, through the ringer, who has known people... I mean, this, again, this is part of the thematically, it just didn't seem to fit with what I knew about, like, the Bat family and those sort of titles, where if you've been through the sort of training and the sort of rigorous discipline that it takes to be, to wear the Bat mantle, basically, to have Batman's blessing to say that this is okay for you to do, I just don't feel like it's really realistic for your character to be that caught up with these sort of day-to-day, mundane, social, shitty activities that the normal lot of us do out of boredom more than anything else. It seems to me like it, I got kind of annoyed at the, smartphone that, would flash people and would blind them or whatever. But I guess that's a sort of a gadget, a crime fighting gadget. I get it. But it seems to me like if you're really concerned with this as a sort of thing that you do, that you're going to take it a lot more seriously than she does in this comic book. You're going to take it a lot more, sort of like this is, again, you brought up the point that her boyfriend basically said, you know, there's a lot of people out here who think that you're doing a disservice and you should just leave it to the cops. I think that was a really interesting thing to explore, and they really didn't explore it at all. And like you were saying, she's very concerned with kind of trivial matters that just, these are not things that a person who is who fights metahumans, who, you know, looks at murders, who investigates supervillains, who, you know, can program basically a world changing AI, is going to be that concerned about. It just didn't seem to me like the same character in those two aspects at all.
Yeah, I think that's especially true if you consider like the brain scan scenes in the final issue where she's going through the treatment and she's saying, I always was Batgirl. Well, if you've always been Batgirl and you always will be, you know, be Batgirl. Go do it.
Right. Right. Do you really, I mean, that's the thing is, like, do you think that Bruce Wayne sits around in the Batcave and is like, what are they saying about me on Twitter? Like, he wouldn't care at all. He would never, like, that wouldn't matter one bit to him. And I don't think it would matter to any of the other Bat. I don't know. It makes her, it was very telling that they did it in her comic book, because I could never see them doing that in, like, a Dick Grayson book, even, like, a Damian Wayne book. I don't feel like that would be sort of anything that anybody who would take this life on would be overly concerned with. And that I just seemed out of place and very odd. And again, very telling that it was, like, that they did it to Batgirl of all characters. I don't know. I don't want to say that's like sexist, but it kind of felt a little sexist, a little tropey maybe.
I think you're right. And it's actually kind of funny because you said Dick Grayson, but I'm thinking like, okay, out of the whole Bat family, maybe the only one who would mope about this kind of thing would be Dick Grayson. Because
he wants everyone to like him.
Yeah, he's a little sensitive. But it's weird to me that it's Batgirl. And it's kind of interesting that you mention like that sexism aspect, because kind of use this to kind of tie in to some like the two other comics that we read for this podcast arc were Midnighter, and Andy and I found that like there was a huge focus on the protagonist being a gay man. And it wasn't just like part of his character, but like the comic was like, we are so diverse. Look at this gay man do stereotypical gay guy things.
He really loved fucking dudes.
Well, aside from that, I mean,
that's pretty stereotypical for gay men.
That was like an excellent return, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. My daughter is done screaming and I am back.
Okay.
So, I mean, that one was like, hey, you know, Midnighter, if you didn't notice, he's totally gay. And, okay, great, you know, features, you know, diverse characters from different backgrounds and whatever, good. But he's a stereotype. And then last week, we read Omega Men, and out of nowhere, like, I know that, Andy, why is his name escaping
me? Kyle Rayner.
Kyle Rayner, thank you. Kyle Rayner had been retconned to be half Mexican, but he like randomly goes heavy Spanish speaking Roman Catholic in the comic. And, yeah, we couldn't figure out why. And this one, so Batgirl is treated like stereotypically female, girly girl. And so is Dinah. Dinah, God, the words I wrote in the notes for this, episode are Bratz doll. And, yeah. But I think one place this comic did a great job was that it managed to fit in the diversity that apparently DC has been trying very hard to get into its comics well. Because all the, like, background character, I shouldn't say background, but like secondary
characters.
Yeah. But like the background too, like if you look at any drawing of a crowd, there's like all sorts of different people, but I actually really thought it was cool. So her first roommate is Asian. Her second roommate is black. She has like a couple, Middle Eastern friends, one of whom is, Muslim and wears a hijab.
And she's awesome.
Yeah, she's so cool.
I love that they added her in, made her Middle Eastern, and gave her a hijab, and didn't say a word about any of it. Just, here's another person working at a university. I appreciate that. And nothing stereotypical about her either.
It is hijab. Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't know if that's what it is or not.
I am terribly ignorant, and I actually apologize for that, and we'll go look it up later. My bad. Anyway, she's a cool character, and you know, they put her in and she's a person. And all of these people are just people. And like, they mention, you know, this one person, this guy has like great taste in boys, except for this one dude. And you know, like the girl that, was at the party who got her phone stolen, she's like a person of color, you know, I don't know what nationality, but it works here because it is the Brooklyn of Gotham, I think, and it makes sense for all these different types of people to be in a metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. But also, all the characters are people, and I love that so much. And I was mad. Like, I started seeing, like, all these different kinds of people, and I was like, DC, are you trying to suck up to me again?
They do that every once in a while.
Yeah, last 2 weeks felt like pandering. It felt like pandering to social justice, and that was just weird. And if you're going to have a diverse cast, do it this way. Rant over.
Okay. Cool. I came in at a good point. Two dudes fucking. That's when I came back.
Yeah. We did not get any of that in this comic.
No.
There was no sex. No. It's child friendly-ish.
There's the lacy, gently wafting curtains version of sex. Like, it's probably happening. They're all on this app called Hook. It's happening.
That's
just not screen.
Because there's specifically like Barbara Gordon. Barbara has like, she hooks up with a dude and then he sleeps on the couch.
Yeah, it's like, true.
It's like absurd. I was like, wait a second. She's 21. Like, she's single, like, drunk, and the guy just goes and sleeps on the couch. Like, that, what? Like,
well,
I don't know.
I mean, that's okay. Let's...
on.
Wait, didn't he end up sleeping with her roommate?
Yeah.
No, they ended up safely making out and nothing sexual happened. You know.
Right. Okay.
Safely making out. I love that.
Did they use protection?
Still no sex. Yeah, she used, was it a dental dam? Just in case.
Yeah.
you gotta send the kids, yeah.
Oh man, by the way, just for censorship, I love when she crashes in on the party with Black, and he flips her off with both hands, and they pixelate it.
Yeah, another one of those sort of Scott Pilgrim moments that it was so weird and so meta that it took me out of the story. It very much was like, it's a weird sort of decision to make when I think you're going into the, like, breaking the fourth wall unnecessarily. Another thing about it, I didn't feel like that worked. Because they did it a number of times. Every time they did it, I kind of had like this inner groan of just like, ugh.
Yeah, and that's kind of Black's thing too. Like when he talks in the hashtags, it's right there. It's in the same category.
Yeah. God. Yeah, that was bad.
Like, I actually imagine him saying hashtag each time too.
Maybe.
Right. Well, you know, some people do that, right? Hashtag date night.
I'm in marketing and I work with a lot of old people, and you don't want to know what they think about social media. Yeah, they do that.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, okay, the other thing I want to talk about, because I have no idea what you guys talked about, so I'm just going to abruptly transition to something else because that's what I feel like doing. This comic has a whole theme. I don't know if you guys did talk about this or not, but it's got this theme of girls are cool.
They are.
They are. I have one as a daughter, and I have one as a wife. Even although I
have?
Don't have them,
misogynist
I don't own either.
Pig.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done backpedaling there. You know what I mean. This is colloquial American English. It's fine.
Hashtag shitlord.
Shitlord. So like the typical scene here is when she's in the robotics lab and she's walking by the board with the giant formula on it, and she smudges out a number or two. And replaces it. It's all in blue. And she replaces her section in like bright red ink. And she says, there you go, boys. That should work better for you now. And it's kind of like, that felt like pandering. Like, okay, nerds. You come to our conventions and you tell us how we don't have good female characters. So we're going to give you a super, like, girl powery kind of character. And I mean, it's just one scene, but I feel like that was the most, the best example of what I'm trying to illustrate here.
I think I completely agree with you. I think that we were actually talking a little bit about that. Yes, totally. I hate women. Oh, you're recording this. Sorry.
I'll beep that part out. I hate beep.
Horribly. But no, I mean, like, we were talking a little bit about this, she has these kind of, stereotypical things that she does that are very particular to women that you wouldn't find in other Bat Family titles, even ones like, you know, Robin or you know, Tim Drake or Damian, who are younger than she is. Mm-hmm. Just kind of her interest in social media and things like that. And I think that was a scene for me that, again, it kind of played on this, like, man, she seems very, like, the character seems very kind of muddled. Cause that's great if at the same time you kind of play it as like, oh, she's this kind of above the fray super genius and she doesn't care about, you know, anyone else's opinions and she's just going to go in and mess up a math equation and do it right. She's just that badass. And then maybe like not a book later, we were just talking about this, how she literally goes on her Twitter page and they're talking a bunch of shit about Batgirl and she has like a side panel and she, you know, dumps her head against the plate glass window, like, yeah, a depressed would do. And it's like, what the hell? Like, who is this girl? I don't feel like I know her at all. I don't feel like I understand her motivations. I don't really understand what drives her. It's kind of all over the place. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't come from a coherent sort of psychological profile, for lack of a better term, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's good. And, you know, and like, I'm gonna go back to that scene again, and what you're talking about, in terms of how the character feels off. That scene feels like a Mary Tyler Moore scene, like, you're gonna make it after all. Like, yeah, you fucked up, and you lost your formula, but you're smart, and you're in a college, and you know good stuff, and you're gonna make it in this man's world, and all that kind of good thing. Except, like, this comic, on the one hand, it has female coders as protagonists. And that's awesome. I love that Frankie is a woman, bisexual, and a coder, and, like, is just a person and black. Like, all of these things that aren't usually represented in comics, she's there. And she's STEM in comics, which is awesome. Except then Barbara goes in and assumes, or at the very least we are shown, the robotics club is a boys' club for some reason. I don't know. Women don't like robots, sure. And makes the "that should work better for you now, boys" comment just to the robotics club. I like, on the one hand, you're showing me this awesome STEM female character, and on the other hand, you're saying, but STEM is for boys. And I don't know which one you're really trying to get across here. And I think because the tone of the whole comic is like back and forth on that, the tone of Barbara gets kind of back and forth on that. Like, it's the "you're gonna make it after all" kind of tone. And then, like you're saying, 2 days, like, the next book, she's banging her head against the glass. Like, are you gonna make it after all, or not here, Babs? I don't know. And I mean, that's part of the sitcom Mary Tyler Moore thing too. Like, but you need more consistency than that in this short of a medium.
Yeah, and that is a good thing, like, a good point about Frankie. She's great because, like, I don't know, I could see myself giving this comic to a kid and then them coming back and be like, I want to code just like Frankie. She saved everyone. And I'd be like, sweet, go for it. But,
and experiment a little in college, sure.
Yeah, do what you want, man. But, like, Barbara just, like, she mansplains.
yes, she does.
She mansplains to them. And, okay, so here's the deal. Like, the trick to writing strong female characters isn't to make them do very stereotypically girly things that are outside of their characterization and then have them come out as, like, superior and kind of jerkish. It's just to write people who are authentically human and are cool. And then people look at them and they say, ah, that is a cool person. I want to be like that person.
Yeah. And that's my kind of problem with last year's and the previous year's, like, quote unquote, resurgence of female-led comics. This was one of the big ones. Ms. Marvel was one of the other big ones. And Ms. Marvel was really good. And I'll give Ms. Marvel a lot better props for authenticity than this one. But it's a kind of feeling of like, okay, we need to put girls in comics, so let's put girls in comics. Except, do it in a way that looks progressive, but is actually one of the safest ways you could do it. Like, Barbara, as much as it's awesome that you have the spunky female character leading a comic book, the spunky female character, I mean, I just use the example of Mary Tyler Moore. That character's been around for a long ass time. What you don't need is a spunky female stock character in a Batgirl suit. You need a real person, like you're saying, Jen. Like, and it doesn't have to be like Jessica Jones. Like, you don't have to show me a full page of her shitting like as an Alias.
You know, true.
Which, like, awesome on you. That's a really ballsy full page to put in a comic, and you really did show me this is a female character as a human being because everybody poops. But there's got to be somewhere in between there. Like, I don't need Mary Tyler Moore, and I don't need to see a woman shitting on a toilet. I just need a real female character.
I thought Gail Simone did a really great job of that in her arc. She did I think a lot of the problem that I had with this arc was, you know, again, I think a lot of the sort of strong female themes that Gail Simone sort of, explored when it had to do with like her family and the father-daughter relationship, not to mention like her mother coming into play and like what that means as a family for her, personally and professionally as well as Batgirl. I thought that was really well handled. It showed a lot of strength, but a lot of like, you know, she could be badass and be vulnerable because the issues that she was dealing with are very close to her heart. And then when she kind of overcame those things, it felt more cathartic. It felt more in tune with what she was and what she was trying to accomplish. Even at the end, like when she kind of leaves, what's her name? Aisa or whatever, her old roommate. If that is the continuation into Burnside, it just seems like an odd sort of way to kind of mess with those themes in the Burnside version of the comic books. You know, her family is not now her actual family. It's like this extended family, which is cool. It works sort of in the college environment, I guess, if that's what you're going for. But it doesn't deal with anything sort of weighty, and it doesn't really give her a way to shine as a female empowered person outside of like, oh, is she going to get a date, or is she going to pass the test, or, you know, these kind of like mundane, like not really like superhero things that I honestly really don't care about. Like, I mean, you know, it's great for Barbara Gordon that she has a personal life, but there's no weight to that. It's like, I know she's Batgirl, I know she's a super genius. I don't really need to know if she passes the science test. Like, that's not, like, why, you know, coming down from the Gail Simone arc where we're talking about big, weighty sort of themes, that just sound like sort of a letdown to me in regards to, you know, strong female characters handling their business, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's so not fair to compare anything. Gail Simone loves this character. Loves Barbara to death. And like, if you want to, Gail Simone's fantastic run on Birds of Prey is like the epitome of Barbara Gordon in my head. And that also is a comic that does a really good job of striking the balance between Mary Tyler Moore and shitting on a toilet. Cause like, Oracle is a character who is strong and badass and uses people's misperceptions about women and STEM against them in multiple instances. And at the same time, is really vulnerable in places. She's really vulnerable with her authentic feeling relationship with Dick Grayson. She's really vulnerable because she's in a friggin' wheelchair, even though she's capable of defending herself. Like, these are supervillains, let's be serious here. She'll defend herself from a mugger, but, you know, if Blockbuster comes in with, like, super strength, sorry, you're in a wheelchair, you're not going to really have much of a fight here. And the balance of the reality of that character is so strong. And then you come to this, and I think you're right. It's just the lack of balance and the fact that it doesn't feel real, even though there's all these realistic things in here. Like all these realistic science tests and having a thesis, and oh my god, my thesis got deleted. Like all of those things are realistic things that everyday people should relate to. But maybe I just don't want that in my Batgirl comic. That's not why I'm coming to this. I don't know why that feels so discongruous to me, but it doesn't quite fit.
Yeah, I think this is something we actually see commonly. And I'm not just saying this about Batgirl, and I'm not even saying this directly about this comic, because I think this comic did it better than some. But if we look at like Gail Simone or like Greg Rucka just writes like amazing female characters. Mm-hmm. If we look at female characters who are really well done. They are character driven, and the stories are character driven. It's been like, you know, the common, like widely shouted internet complaint that if you put women in skimpy costumes and just have them pose there and, you know, fight all sexy, that they are not being treated like people in comics. Well, on the flip side to that, if you take women and you put them in stereotypical situations and you say, well, you know, if a girl is in STEM, she's not just going to enjoy it. She has to prove something. That's just another kind of stereotype. Yeah. If she has like a weird bitchy catfight with her best friend, but no actual reason for it is given, and the resolution of it is kind of out of nowhere. That's not character development. That's a stereotype about female interactions. And here's the thing. I think, and now this opinion might not be shared by all, that it's just as bad to take a female character and kind of try to Mary Sue her up, basically. Like, because the Batgirl in this, she doesn't actually have any real faults. She's not a person. She has, like, cool girl problems. You know, she's on social media too much, and she pukes in a trash can because she's hungover, and she likes too many boys. Well, okay, yeah, but that's all stereotypical female problems. It's not the sort of thing that you see in a person's day-to-day life. And of course, an average person would be boring to read about in comics, but you have to mix some of that in, because if you don't, I don't necessarily see why this is a better option than the skimpy outfit, because, I mean, I like Power Girl's boob window.
Hell,
I know,
yeah.
Andy does, yeah. And, you know, it's just like, if you're going to have this rallying cry about women in comics, which I honestly think is fairly debatable anyway, just going to put that out there, then when you try to make those comics, think about how your characters are people. Because, surprise, surprise, women and men are actually not that different, and women are people too. Whew.
Yeah, I'll come to the defense of this comic a little bit. Like, the social media stuff, it feels really cheesy and comes off weird. But I did like the attempt at a new storyline with the idea that these heroes have an image, right? And the idea of your hero having an image has been such a persistent part of so many characters for a long time. Like Batman and his standing for a symbol, and the bat symbol on his chest, and Superman being the symbol of hope and being an image to make people want to be better, versus an image of fear, which is what Batman's going for. Batgirl here is realizing that an image is being cultivated for her that she doesn't want. And she has to adapt the reality of her identity to overcome what people are, like, the way she fought this battle initially was through social media, which sounds super corny and stupid, I know. But it she really did have to fight an image war, because at a certain point, the town was chasing her with pitchforks. And I really appreciate the idea of trying to do that as a story, because the whole thing of superhero as a symbol, as a representation, as an image of something greater for people to aspire to or be afraid of or be intimidated by, like, whatever, that's such a huge part of comics, and especially it's a huge part of DC and how they talk about their characters. And I it feels weird and it comes off weird, but I want to give credit to the creative attempt to do something new there. At least I want to do that.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, because, you know, as I said at the start of my, like, mini rant there, I think this comic did it a lot better than most.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's anything wrong with trying, but the end result always, like, okay, if we're gonna, like, go ahead and say we're criticizing this comic, like, not from a mean perspective, but as, like, a critical perspective, if what you're trying to do is, like, solve the female problem in comics, right? Like, then
you have a whole lot of hubris, for one.
Then you gotta look at how you do it carefully. And, okay, I also just want to say, like, I liked this comic. I didn't like who Barbara was, but I think the comic was fairly well done. And, like, what you said about the brand, this comic did address that pretty well, I think, or in a clever way, because when we see, what was his name? Dagger type.
Yeah.
Get up on stage and say, I'm the new Batgirl, and this is my brand. Everyone just fucking turned on him. They're like, that's disgusting. Why would you make it a brand? This is art. And then, after that, Barbara says, wait, I need to cultivate a brand. She doesn't use that word brand, but it is exactly what she does.
Hmm.
And that is a huge part of her problem here, that she is doing the exact same thing that this guy did, and of course the public didn't like that. So why are they going to like her doing it? So it's not like the comic just kind of blithely goes off on that part. It is very self-aware, I think, of how it's branding her and what it's saying there. I guess my main complaint is that this Barbara was just a little too good, and her problems were not the, like, the comic problems of the plot here were not the focus. It was more like her, I'm a college girl problems, but they didn't seem real.
All right.
They just felt very disconnected from the entire sort of, you know, main arc of, like, who's out there trying to ruin Batgirl, basically. I don't know. I mean, I kind of agree that I liked certain aspects of the social media thing. But again, Andy, listen to what you just said. They were literally chasing her through the town with pitchforks. Yeah. I mean, that's laughable. I mean, that seemed very out of place. Like,
I don't see that happening almost no matter what you post on Facebook.
No, because it's not realistic. It seemed like a very, again, sort of ham-handed, ham-fisted way of trying to make a point, and it didn't seem real. It didn't seem natural in any way. I appreciate what they're trying to do. Like you said, I get trying to make a more realistic world that's driven by cell phones and how you be a superhero in a world where everyone's watching and recording and like, you know, the idea that you could be like a Batman or even a Spider-Man where people didn't really know if you were real or if it kind of was a glimpse or whatever, like people would catch you. Like, that's gone now. Like, yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. So if you want to write a modern day superhero tale existing in that world, you have to take that into account. But then again, on the flip side of that, like, it's a Bat comic. Honestly, I don't really give a shit what's going on Bat Twitter. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me at all. Like, I don't really, like, the idea that I'm worried about my brand when there's murderers and psychopaths killing people, and, like, my brother's a serial killer, and my dad's the commissioner, and he's lonely and drinks himself to sleep every night, and, you know, like, actual problems are happening. And she's, again, it goes back to, like, the sort of, I don't know if it's sexist or if it's stereotypical or cliche, but, like, a girl would be worried about her Twitter feed over all of these things that you would think Batgirl or Barbara Gordon would be concerned with. And it didn't seem to play with, at least for me, in a way that seemed real or resonant.
All right. You guys, so did you guys talk about the art at all? I don't know. I really like the art in this one. Let's talk about the art, and then we'll give a rating. We'll figure out how that works. The art on this, I actually really like the art on this. It was bright and cheerful, and what I appreciated the most is the character redesign. Because 2015 and 2014 were like the years of character redesign. And, as much as this whole like women in comics thing, is kind of hit or miss, what I really appreciate is realistic costumes that come out of it. Like what happened with Captain Marvel in the Marvel Universe. And I feel like this costume for Batgirl, it's still not very functional because, you know, like a leather jacket, she's gonna have to like have a backpack with her constantly. It's not something she can wear under her normal clothes, which is kind of why they used to wear spandex. There was a reason for it back in the day. But I mean, you can suspend your disbelief, like whatever. Who knows where she keeps those jackets? This looks and feels like a better kind of outfit for fighting crime, like actual combat boots instead of high heels.
Yeah.
And capes that snap on like in a reasonable way that aren't going to choke you when somebody grabs them. I really appreciated the redesign from that perspective. On top of all the other fantastic art in this comic, that's just one thing I really wanted to make sure I pointed out.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I really like the art. That was one of the bright spots for me. You know, I thought that the design, like you said, was really good in a functional sort of way. I liked even the little touches, like you were saying, the snap away cape and things like that, which are much more functional, from a superhero actual crime fighting point of view. And to be honest, they looked good too. They kind of gave the costume a sort of, visual motif that was good, but it was very similar to like the Bat costume, but it was also very much Barbara Gordon, very, very, personalized and sort of, kind of attuned to, you know, her character, I guess. And I like that. I did like that.
So, you guys want to rate this? Clinton, what we normally do is we give a comic a score between 1 to 5, mm-hmm. 2.5 being average. And the criteria are whatever the fuck you want them to be. So, okay. Like, I gave Jungle Girl, I think, a 5 out of 5, because, man, Adriana Bautista can draw a really nice rack. that wasn't the whole reason why I did it, but, you know, that's on there.
There's a lot of it.
That was, you know.
It's a bullet point.
Yeah, it was a sizable handful of why. So, yeah. Well, why don't you go first, Jen? That way Clinton can kind of see how we do this.
Sure. So, despite the stuff I said, I actually really liked this.
I feel like I've been crapping on it the whole time.
Yeah, you missed it, but we didn't say super nice things about Batgirl's characterization, but it was still a fun read. It's just not the Barbara Gordon I know, and that's okay. I think that this comic was really cool in that it gave me a lot of things to talk about, but I don't think it was any less because of those. I'm going to give this one a 4. And that's out of 5. So I liked that it let me talk about the issues that I see with having like this portrayal or like how one could portray a strong female character, because it wasn't just about like me trying to shit on this comic. It really wasn't. It's also allowing, it's reading this allowed me to look at how it could be done and what's good and what can be improved. I thought the story was a lot better in issues 4 and 5, because I think it finally picked up pace. And what actually was a major downside for me with this comic was how I didn't really know what the hell she was so worried about for the first 3 issues. And I was just thinking, okay, there's something big and scary happening in the background, but I've been given no indication. So I feel as much in the dark as Barbara, but like, you know, I'm not her. My identity has not been stolen. So I don't know why I'm afraid. It just didn't tug at me, I suppose. I really like the art. I've never seen like rhinestones and glitter illustrated like this. And I think it's super cool. But more than that, I think that the faces were really good. Every single person.
That's true.
Was drawn super well. And it's just like, you can tell they all have personalities and their facial expressions. Each person just like kind of had their own set of expressions that were theirs and theirs alone. And that was awesome. Cause it makes them more real. So yeah, a 4.
I'll go next. Actually, I'm going to give this a 4 as well. I feel like, you know, there's always difficulty when you talk about women in comics these days, and realistic female portrayals. But in reality, I mean, it's a comic book, and I don't know if Peter Parker's a realistic portrayal of anything either, because he's a mediocre photographer at a newspaper, and I don't know if you know this, but that doesn't really pay the bills in New York City, especially if you're a university student, you know? And yeah, he has problems, but let's face it, he's a superhero, he has a day job, he's a really smart guy working at a university, and his girlfriend/wife is a model. So I'm pretty sure Peter Parker's got a married suit life as well. So it all depends on how much realism you want in your comics, and I think as much as I don't like looking at author intent, I kind of have to here, because I don't like that moment on the whiteboard. But thinking about the costume and the redesign of the costume, They're thinking about what is functional and what fits this character, and not thinking about how do I make Barbara's, you know, how do I make Barbara's boobs look great in this costume, which is what some artists have done in the past, you know. And I mean, progress could always happen faster, but this ain't the worst thing.
Yeah.
Ah, crap. I think I'm gonna begin. I'll go quick. So yeah, I'm gonna give this a 4. I didn't have the same problem with Barbara's character and with Dinah's character that you guys that seem to have. But yeah, a 4. I'm gonna give it a 4. How about you, Clint?
Okay. Well, I hate to be the downer here, but I'm gonna go a little lower. I'm gonna say a 2.5. You know, because I had a lot of problems with not just the characterization of Barbara, but you know, I think a lot of the problem with this book for me is. There are things that I really, really liked about it, like you were saying, like we were talking about before, the character design and the art and just kind of the general, like, feel of it is cool, from a, like, the action sequences are really well done and just kind of the facial expressions and all of that were really well done. And it kind of, I was into the action sequences and the art of all of that. But I really, There were so many moments in it where I literally, my eyes rolled when I couldn't overlook the fact that, like, certain, issues that they had brought up about, you know, social media or vigilantism, and certain things that they tried to do, they just kind of did, what I feel like is sort of a ham-fisted way of going about it. And, they didn't really explore any of that to my liking. And, you know, that's just my opinion on those things. And, you know, honestly, what you were saying about how, I guess they did, a less realistic version of Batgirl is not really my problem. It's not even so much the realism as I think I want more of a coherent sort of character. And somebody who I can really easily understand their motivations and where they're coming from. So that when, you know, reversals and things happen to them, I kind of understand where they're going to come from. And I didn't really get that in this comic book. She was, to me, Barbara Gordon was kind of all over the place. And, she didn't really have sort of a realistic, character psychology. And that's really what I'm more interested in as far as realism than like the universe or, you know, the exact specifics of like their job or the minutia of their life or whatever. And for those reasons, I would take, points off. And I think that's a lot of that is not because the writing was particularly bad or anything like that, but just cause it wasn't my cup of tea.
Cool. I think we lost Andy.
Okay.
So his baby is a
youngin. Yeah.
Yeah. His baby's giving him a rough time. Okay. But yeah, thanks so much for joining us this week. Normally Andy does an outro and I don't actually have it memorized. So, patreon.com, da da da. And that's all I got.
I'm glad I could spend some time talking about this with you guys.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we always love having guests too, because, you know, it's like just the two or three of us and we've been doing this for, God, what? 5 years now or something crazy like that. So, like, it's good to get fresh opinions.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'm glad to interject a little new blood in there then.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
You still there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. I don't know what's up. She's been kind of sick today, and she doesn't normally wake up at night, and she's woken up twice.
Aw, poor baby.
Yeah. So, Clinton had to go, I take it?
We wrapped it up, and I was just like, well, I don't know if we can end the call, because I don't want to, like,
Did you, like, an outro and everything?
I was like, Andy normally has an outro that I have not memorized, so patreon.com. Yeah. Okay. That's like, exactly what I said. You might want to put in something more professional there.
Did you say what we're doing next?
No.
Okay, because next we're going to start our Best Marvel Comics of 2015 series. We're going to read Vision Volume 1, A-Force War Zones, and Star Wars Darth Vader, Vader. Darth Vader, Vader.
Vader, Vader.
Vader, Vader. So next week is going to be Vision Volume 1.
Excellent.
Yeah. So then I normally say, until next week, everybody, goodbye. And then we all say bye together.